So everyone loves kids, and everyone is terrified of what they're going to say. We remember, I think, a lot of us, kids say the darndest things. Remember that TV show, and it was all cutesy with some of the things. And I can remember some of those shows where it's like, wow, we know an awful lot about these parents all of a sudden. We make jokes about the fact that kids will say just about anything or do anything. There was a commercial a few years ago, and I can remember it was about a candy bar, and I don't remember the candy bar. But each commercial was some kid saying something that they shouldn't to somebody else, and the tagline at the end was, if you'd given them this candy bar, they'd keep their mouth shut. You know, they'd be too busy eating to do it. And my favorite was the one where this little girl walks up to this woman in a big white wedding gown, and she says, "My mommy says she can't believe you wore white." Kids will say anything. We love kids. We talk about children, and we spend so much money on childhood. Any of us that have had kids that have walked through the toy aisles at any department store, you just see the dollar signs racking up for everything you know that they're going to want. We spend a lot of money, we spend a lot of time. But as a student of history, it's interesting to note that the concept of childhood is actually a fairly modern development. It was sort of like this ideal for the Victorian age, but what we understand as, you know, kids will be kids and they'll, you know, they should have this period of growth and play and joy and magic and wonder, you know, and not start work and worry until much later. That is a concept that really didn't take hold, especially in the West, and still really doesn't exist in most of the world, until about the early 1900s. And we see the development of child labor laws and all of that, and we've all seen pictures of kids working in the coal mines or picking tobacco or the like, working in factories. The concept of being a child, having a childhood, is a fairly modern thing, like I said. Prior to that, and still in much of the world, as soon as you can walk and actually hold things in your hands, you're going to go to work. Much of the world still to this day actually is subsistence farming and lifestyle. Kids have to work. They have to in order to help the family function. And certainly at the time of Jesus, children were expected to be many adults. And the funny thing about this all is, of course, that children were also property. You see, we like to think of people having autonomy, and that was a concept that really wasn't even thought about at the time of Jesus. Children were essentially property. As a matter of fact, under Roman law, a child wasn't even considered a person until it was two. So, as a matter of fact, it was perfectly legal if you decided you didn't want the child or there was some issue with the child to go and leave it exposed to the elements. That was perfectly legal. That was a reality for these people. Children were not seen as this beautiful inheritance like we do today. So when Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he knows that they've just been arguing over who was the greatest of them, who was it that loved Jesus the most, who was it that had the most power, who had the most authority, who had the answers to the questions that Jesus was causing them to ask of themselves and others. Jesus is fully aware that they've argued about this. And he brings in this little child. Now, we don't know who the child was. I think it's interesting that the author of this gospel lesson still has it in his mind that this child is property, isn't really a person, isn't really worth a whole lot. Because if you notice, the pronoun that's used for the child is it, not he or she. This child is an it, even to the author. Lowest rung of society, no voice. Jesus takes this child. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Takes the child, sets it down there in the midst of them, and says, this is, in our society, the lowest form of humanity. unless you are ready, willing, and able to accept this as someone as your equal, you don't understand anything I have been telling you. Through the centuries, I think that Jesus asks us the same question. Are we ready, willing, and able to welcome the least of those in our society as our equals? Are we ready to bring them in to the church, to our lives, to our work? Are we ready, willing, and able to lift up those that society has disenfranchised, thrown away, tossed out as unloved, unwanted, or uncared for? Are we ready, willing, and able to say that those people have just as much worth and dignity as anyone else in this world, as if they were a doctor or a lawyer, if they were a teacher, if they were a priest, if they were a fabulous musician? Are we ready, willing, and able to say that the least of those in our society matter just as much as the rest of us? Are we going to say that about those who are down and out, who are unemployed, unemployable, those who have a drug addiction, maybe those who have a different lifestyle or understanding than we? Are we ready, my brothers and sisters, to bring them in to our lives and our fold? Because if we're not, then we really haven't been paying attention to Jesus. We really haven't noticed what it is that Jesus is saying is that we are all loved. We are all cared for. We are all respected by our God. And if God can do that, then we ought to be able to do it as well. That is the intention for that perfect world that God longs for us. That we can all live together and respect one another. Drawing those little children, drawing those that are marginalized in our society in, welcoming them. That is just like what James is saying in his epistle lesson. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Bring those whom you can see the kingdom of heaven in, close to you. Bring the children. Bring the outcasts. Bring those that society has tossed away, and you will see a household of God that is full and is beautiful and is amazing. It's not perfect, but none of us are. All of us have fallen short. We seem far too often to want to criticize those whose only real fault is that they sin differently than we do. We are called to love, to honor, and to respect all of our brothers and sisters. When we do that, we draw closer to God. When we do that, we welcome those into this household, this ragtag group of people that we call the church, this motley crew that exists here, people who are broken. And I'm sorry, if this is news to you, please take it in stride. We are all broken. That's just a reality of our existence. But we are held together by God and by each other. As we go through our lives, every time you encounter someone that you think that you would throw away, I want you to remember that you can see the face of God in them. Look them in the eye, because you will never look in the eye of anyone God does not love. See them. Respect them. No matter who or what they may be or what they may be doing. Know that they are beloved. Draw near to them. They will draw near to you. Draw near to God. And God will draw near to you in this household of faith and love. Amen.